Please turn with me now to Luke chapter 24. We're going to be concluding this book today, God willing. Luke chapter 24, I'll have to recap a little. Messiah revealed. From verse 25. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's as far as we arrived last Shabbat. We have to go back to verse 13 to fill in the background of this event. Two disciples on the third day on Resurrection Sunday were going to Emmaus. They were totally perplexed with the events of the last 3 days, and they were trying to make sense of it to backwards and forwards discussion, trying to make sense of what had happened. And as they did so, slowly walking to Emmaus, a stranger caught up with them, who was the Lord Yeshua himself. But the Bible tells us in verse 16, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They saw him, but they didn't recognize him. And he asked them, when there was a pause in the conversation, he asked them what it was that they were so deeply troubled about. And after their initial surprise that he was the only one, it seems as though he was the only one in all Jerusalem who didn't know what was happening, they then went on to explain. Verse 19, so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. That's what we're talking about. This is the one that we are troubled about. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So they're saying here, our hopes were dashed. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And of course, the tone of their narration here is that of skepticism, total skepticism. Verse 24, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. That's as far as we arrived last week. In other words, all our hopes were dashed, and even these rumors were not able to convince us otherwise. Him they did not see. And then the stranger spoke up. Verse 25 to 27. Then, after they had finished speaking, he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. What he is saying here is, you believe in much of what the prophets have spoken, but not in all. It seemed perfectly obvious to this stranger that there was nothing that had gone wrong. And that was the most surprising thing, the most puzzling thing of all, that a total stranger saw very clearly that what had happened was exactly what should have happened. And we saw last week, verse 27, how beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As he did so, they were drawing near to their destination. And we read in verse 28 to 29, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. Their walk and their conversation was now nearly over, and he was about to take his leave of them. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Who would not want such a wonderful man to stay? He indicated that he was going, but they urged him. The word signifies that they were importunate. They constrained him. They restrained him. They urged him. And it's not the first time. Their father Abraham had done that too. In Genesis chapter 18, he also had a divine visit, as these disciples had. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 1 to 5. Genesis 18, verse 1 to 5. It is an analogous situation, but of course, thousands of years before. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, that is Abraham. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please, let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. What the disciples on the road to Emmaus did to the Lord Yeshua, their ancestor Abraham had done also to the Lord who appeared to him in human form. And that Lord that appeared to Abraham in human form was the same one that appeared to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It was Messiah. Many times in the book of Genesis, we read of Messiah appearing in the form of a man or in the form of an angel to his people. And this was one of them in Genesis chapter 18. So the same one that visited Abraham with two angels was the one that walked with us two sad disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's wonderful. Marvelous. He was just the same yesterday as he was on that day, on the resurrection Sunday. Another example of this is found in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6, and also Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 18. 17 and 18. Gideon here is talking to the angel of the Lord, who turns out to be no other than Messiah in the form of a man. Judges chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. So what Abraham asked for and was granted. Gideon also asked for and was granted. One more passage, Judges chapter 13 and verse 15. Judges chapter 13, verse 15. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please, let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord. So here are three examples preceding this, the experience of these two disciples who had arrived at the village of Emmaus. Like Abraham, like Gideon, like Manoah, these two detained the same wonderful person. It was the same person. It was God, obviously, in human form. And God has only shown himself in human form in the person of Jesus, his Son, Son of God. So here, what they were doing was history repeating itself. God visiting his people and then seeking to offer him hospitality. That's the beautiful picture we have here. Abide with us. Why do you think they wanted him to abide with them? When John the Baptist pointed at the Lord Yeshua as he walked on the bank of the river Jordan and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." Two of John's disciples went after the Lord Yeshua. And he turned and saw them. He asked them, "What are you seeking?" And their response was, "Rabbi, where dwellest thou?" He said to them, "Come and see." This time he was the host, and they abode with him that day, because then the day was far spent then also. He went in, here in Luke 24, verse 29, he went in to stay with them. How do you think they welcomed him? They welcomed him in the way a Pharisee did not welcome him. There was a certain Pharisee, we read about him in chapter 7 of Luke, who invited the Lord Yeshua in for a meal, just as these two disciples did. But he omitted three of the customary courtesies for every guest: water for the feet, to wash the feet, the kiss of greeting and of welcome, and anointing oil for the head. The sun was very hot there, and the anointing oil was refreshing. It was like a balm put on the head to cool the head. That Simon the Pharisee had deliberately withheld from the Lord. But can you imagine these two disciples, how they hastened, as Abraham did? Abraham had said to his guests, "Let a little water be fetched, I pray you, and wash your feet." So these disciples must have hastened to produce that basin of water for their guest to wash his feet. The thought came to me, how come they didn't see his nail-pierced feet as he washed them? Perhaps they didn't watch while he washed his feet. The kiss of greeting. They were greeting their master with a holy kiss. The ointment for the head. How glad they would be to produce the best ointment they had for their honored guest. He went in to stay with them. The customary water, the customary kiss of greeting, the anointing oil. Verse 30. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And it was at that point we read, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. It wasn't the sight of him, it was the action that they were so familiar with. For 3.5 years they had eaten with their master, they had walked with their master. They knew that customary gesture. They knew that loved voice. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. It was a blessing that was already in use in Messiah's time. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Then their eyes were opened. What was it that made the difference between their blinded sight and their opened eyes? As he took the bread and broke it, it was symbolic of the truth that he had broken to them by the way. As they had been walking along the way, he had opened up to them the scriptures, and it was symbolically fulfilled in his breaking the bread, opening up that loaf in order to give to them. The Lord Yeshua had said to his people in the synagogue at Capernaum, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall not hunger. He that believes on me shall not thirst. Their eyes were opened because by now their minds had been opened. By now they had been thinking correctly. The Messiah, this mysterious stranger, had opened the eyes of their minds and of their hearts. And he had put them straight. And now they were ready to see him, to recognize him, in that order. In other words, you and I don't see Yeshua in the scriptures until we have come to living faith in him and in his word. Then, when we turn the pages, we say, why didn't I see this before? It is so obvious. It is so clear. He's made himself known to us because, first of all, he has made us understand his own holy word. They were divinely enabled. It was like the scales falling from their eyes. It was like the veil being drawn back. And it was at that point, as they knew him, the Greek text says he became invisible. They didn't need to see anymore. Their faith, they learned, was not to depend on sight, but on believing the word of God. Peter, when he wrote to the Jewish believers, he said, although you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice in him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What was it that kept them from recognizing him? It was their mistaken notion that had blinded them to his very person and his very presence. When the light of God's word shone into their hearts, in the light of God's word, they recognized the Lord Yeshua. Verse 32 to 35, their joyful return to Jerusalem. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Wasn't our heart burning? David says the same thing. While I was musing, David says in Psalm 39, the fire burned. Or look at it in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 12. The bride there, which represents God's redeemed people, says this, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and verse 12. Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as the chariots of my noble people, as the chariots of Amminadib in Hebrew. She was overwhelmed with the sense of the love of her bridegroom, the sense of his nearness and of his dearness. Before I was even aware, it came upon her unexpectedly. It happens. It happens to God's people that when you're thinking about the Lord, suddenly his glory, his love, his joy, his peace flood your heart, unbidden, unexpected. One Christian man said, I was lying on my bed, taking a rest, meditating on the glory of Christ. And he said, at that moment, the room was filled with a glorious presence. He said, I don't know how to describe it. Messiah does make himself known to his people in wonderful, precious, meaningful ways. And that is how they experienced it. They rose up that very hour, we read in verse 33, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Did not our heart burn within us? The word heart is in the singular. Their hearts were united in the thrill of revelation. As he was speaking, as he was opening scriptures, our heart was burning within us. What made their heart burn? Scripture. And I can imagine that they swallowed down their meal in record time, because we read in verse 33, they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They must have been walking on air going back to Jerusalem. The day was spent. They would have to conclude their journey mostly by moonlight. But it's all right. It was only 3 days since Passover, and the moon is full at Passover. So there's still pretty well a full moon shining on the road to light their way back through the darkened countryside to that city which they had left in fear just a few hours previously. They found the 11, and before they could say anything, the 11 blurted out, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. They rehearsed their own experience, sharing their experience, and while they were talking about it, the Lord appeared to them. Verse 36 to 43. Now, as they said these things, Yeshua himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Shalom Aleichem, peace to you. He put the matter beyond question when he appeared to all of them together with his customary greeting. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They thought it was a phantom when he appeared to them on the stormy lake of Galilee, walking on the waves. They thought then that he was a phantom, and he was the same fear. But his question then was, in verse 38, and he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. In other words, there was no reason for them to be afraid, terrified. And he reproved them for it. Your heart, in this case also the word heart is singular, because their hearts were united in fear. Verse 39, Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. He showed his pierced hands, he showed his pierced feet, and literally he says to them, I myself, or word for word, behold my hands and my feet, that I am myself. I am, comma, myself, no other. They were allowed to see, to touch, to handle. And that's something that John glories in. If we look at 1 John chapter 1, first letter of John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Messiah Yeshua. See how the senses are used in verifying what God has said? He appeals to our reason. He appeals to our senses. Our reason and our senses verify the truth. They're not substitute for the truth, but they are verification. He showed his hands and his feet to them. See that it is I myself. Handle me and see. Verse 40. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Visible demonstration. There was another time when he showed his hands and his feet. If we go back to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 5 and 6. But he, that's Messiah, will say, I am no prophet, I am a farmer, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. That's a picture of the Messiah, the pierced Messiah. In chapter 12 and verse 10, we hear him speaking there, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. What we read there in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 is a prophecy of the future return of the Messiah and his revelation to his people. And what he did in the upper room for his disciples on that Sunday night, he will yet do for his people Israel. They will look upon me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him. They will ask, one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? And then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. That is going to be the Messiah revealing himself as the pierced one to his people at his return. But here, the faithful remnant, his disciples, were given the view of him after his resurrection. Verse 41-43. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, their joy got in the way of believing. He said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. He showed that he was living, that he was no phantom, because phantoms don't eat. He ate before them, with them present. Just as Abraham stood by the angel of the Lord and the two other angels, and they ate from the meal that he had prepared. So they stood by, and he ate from the food that they offered him. He took it and ate in their presence. From chapter 44 to 49, Messiah's instructions to his people. Verse 44, then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. All these years he had been teaching them the scriptures, and it was only now that the penny dropped, that it all clicked, that it all came together. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He mentions the threefold division of the Hebrew scriptures. The law of Moses. What did the law of Moses have to say concerning the Messiah? Moses had plenty to say about the glories of the Messiah, but the Lord Yeshua is filling in his disciples with the truth of the sufferings of the Messiah and the glory that should follow. Well, Moses, right at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we read about the seed of the woman that will crush the head of the serpent. God speaking to the serpent there says, Genesis 3 verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." A prophecy that there will arise one, the seed of the woman, who would destroy the serpent that had deceived Adam and Eve, but who himself would be wounded in the conflict. That's what Moses tells us. What about the prophets? We have Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6 in particular. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's what the prophets spoke. And at the end of chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 12, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Glory, but only after the cross. The crown comes after the cross. And then what about the Psalms? We go back to Psalm 22 for one of the Psalms which speak of the sufferings of the Messiah. Psalm 22, verse 16 to 18. "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. literally fulfilled in the experience of Jesus the Messiah. He opened their understanding. They understood perfectly well his glory, but they needed to understand his sufferings that led to his glory. That's what they needed to comprehend. That's what the two disciples had missed out in their understanding of the Messiah. Verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." That third day is given by the sign of the prophet Jonah, just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so Messiah was in the grave 3 days and three nights. But now also, verse 47 to 49, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Repentance and remission of sins were to be preached in his name. A universal promise. God had said in the prophet Isaiah chapter 45, "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." It's a bidding for the whole world. When we go back to Isaiah 45, we are also able to identify the speaker. Isaiah 45, verse 22 is the verse that I quoted. "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit is speaking here. We find from the next verse, it is God the Son who is speaking. Verse 23, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath." That's what we read in Philippians chapter 2. "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven and in earth and under the earth." The speaker here is Messiah himself, Son of God. Repentance and remission of sins. This was the glad message. This is what is called the gospel, preached in his name, that is, by his authority, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. And behold, the Lord says in verse 49, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." Perhaps that's the reason why he breathed on them in the upper room and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." It was a pledge of the coming promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise of my Father refers to the gift of the Holy Spirit that God bestows on all those that believe in him. "I send the promise of my Father upon you." The Holy Spirit is sent by the Father as well as by the Son. The Father and the Son both send the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. This is an important point in theology. John chapter 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And again in chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Both the Father then and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit. The last three verses, chapter 50 to verse 53, describe his ascension on the 40th day after his crucifixion. Verse 50 to 53. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. After 40 days, we read about that in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It's Luke again, the writer. This is after his resurrection that he spent 40 days with them, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After those 40 days of fellowship and of instruction were over, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Lifting up his hands and blessing them corresponds to the biblical type in the law of Moses. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. Messiah had lifted, as the true high priest, of whom Aaron was the type, also having finished offering himself as a sin offering for the sins of the whole world, now, before he returns to heaven, lifts up his hands and blesses them. That's what Aaron did. According to God's instructions, when Aaron had completed the sin offering, he was to bless them and to retire out of sight into the tabernacle. That tabernacle that Moses built was a symbol of heaven. And what Aaron was doing was depicting what Messiah would do, that having finished dying for the sins of the whole world and rising again, he would then, before departing from his people, lift up his hands in blessing and then disappear from view into heaven. That's what the symbolism is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 22. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. When Aaron went into the tabernacle, he put off his linen garments and put on his garments of glory and beauty. When he reappeared from the tabernacle, it was a symbol of Messiah returning from heaven, appearing to us with glory this time, with beauty, not as the babe in the manger, not to die for sin anymore. Hebrews tells us, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Messiah here in Luke 24 verse 50 onwards is fulfilling the first half of that symbol. Just as Aaron, having finished his sin offering, lifted up his hands and blessed the people and then disappeared into the tabernacle, so Messiah lifts up his hands, blesses the people, and disappears into heaven. He ascended. Verse 51. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is the ascension of the Messiah. The ascension of the Messiah is spoken of many passages. We're going to look at just a few of them this afternoon. Psalm 24. Here's a prophecy of the Messiah ascending to heaven. Psalm 24. Verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It's a picture of the conquering King who had left heaven and is now returning, and heaven's gates are opened to welcome him. Psalm 47 is another ascension psalm. Psalm 47. Verse 5-7. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with understanding. The divine King is the Messiah. It's not the Father. Neither is it the Holy Spirit. The divine King is Messiah. God is the King of all the earth. So this is a psalm celebrating the return of Messiah, the ascension of Messiah, and as a result, he assumes his reign, as God says to him in Psalm 2, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. In the Psalms. There's another psalm, Psalm 68, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. To whom is David singing? It is to the Messiah. We know this because it's quoted in Ephesians. He has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive. It is Messiah Yeshua. And so with Gideon's sacrifice, Manoah's sacrifice. Manoah detained the angel of the Lord, but the angel said to him, though you detain me, I will not eat of your food. You must offer it to the Lord. As the flame of the sacrifice rose up towards heaven, the angel of the Lord stepped into the fire and ascended with the flame. That was the Messiah depicting to his people prophetically that he is identified with the sacrifice. Well, he ascended to heaven. There are other passages, Proverbs 30. Who has ascended to heaven and descended? Proverbs 30, verse 4. The Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures do speak of the death, resurrection, ascension, and return of Messiah. Well, in view of all this truth, now they had comprehended the Scriptures. Now when he spoke to them, it all came together for them. No wonder we read in verse 52 and 53, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. There's one question that remains. How can you and I bless the blesser? How is it possible for sinful human beings to bless God? And the answer is by honoring him, by acknowledging all that is true of him and owning up to it. Well, there's our study in the book of Luke. God willing, next week we'll go back to the Hebrew scriptures and do a little more from the book of Proverbs.